So, with that being said, the last 3 weeks we have been in a series called A Christmas for the Ages, and this has given us a chance to take a look at the different generations that fill our church today. Last week we looked at the millennials, and then the next youngest generation, Generation Z, but this only takes us to those who were born 2010 and earlier. So, we are missing about 12 years of children. And this is, of course, the youngest generation. It's still being formed. Some sociologists have already tried to call it and name it. They call it Generation Alpha. But not surprisingly, there's very little that we can know about them because they're kids. They're kids. And like I said, this sermon this morning will be for the kids. And yet, I have about 2 or 3 minutes for the adults real quick, all right? You see, this is not called A Christmas for Some of the Ages. It's called A Christmas for the Ages. In our faith tradition, we have we consider our littlest children, our little babies, as a part of God's covenant community here. The last 2 Sundays, up in the first service, we've had infant baptisms, and what we promise there is that these are part of our church, that we see them as members of the church, and we want to care for them and hope that in our caring for them and us sharing our faith with them, that one day they also will profess faith in Christ. And so, before I stop talking to you all as adults, which was now about 2 minutes, all right, and my illustrations and language are going to kind of shift to a child level, but I have a question for you as adults. Do the children who are here have anything to teach you? Do they have something to teach us? See, rather than check out here in what's now a minute and 40 seconds, all right, I'd rather you take a moment and prepare your heart to be childlike, for you to kind of wade into this sermon with them, to be a child at heart. You see, children are, if you notice about them, they're vulnerable, right? When we get to adulthood, sometimes we don't want to be vulnerable anymore. What you see is what you get with them. They can wear their emotions on their sleeve. You're not worried, or they're not worried about impressing other people. They have this beautiful simplicity as children. And so now, with just a minute and about 10 seconds left, where I stop talking to you and I begin to talk to the kids, I beg you, don't be left behind in this morning's reflection. Are you willing to be vulnerable today? Are you willing to find that child inside that perhaps you maybe tucked away many years or even many decades ago, and let that child within rise to the surface and just have a childlike curiosity about Christmas this morning? Very quickly, we've got about 40 seconds, adults. You ready? It's going to leave you, head to the kids, and I have a final question for you. Are you willing to wonder this morning? To be like kids and wonder. Now, when I say that word, the vowel there is very important, right? Because kids often wander off, and that's not what we're talking about. We were talking about having a sense of wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. They are still willing to believe and imagine and to allow themselves to be fascinated. The sermon this morning flows out of what I would call a theology of wonder. Scripture tells us in Ephesians, using just the kids' Bible version, which is the New International Reader's Version, which is kind of a good one for little kids who are getting started. It says this: God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. God encourages us to be in wonder about spiritual things when he tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. My final 15 seconds to you all. Let me say this. I don't care what generation you are this morning, but there is something healthy about coming to God with a childlike faith. In fact, Jesus told us this in Matthew 18:2. He said, in calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So adults, teenagers too, I'm signing off, all right? And I would ask that you join me with a childlike heart. So kids, here we go. How many of you are 12 or under, all right? Parents, you can help them raise their hand if they need it, all right? 12 or under, so there's some. I know there's more of you out there, all right? There's some back there in the back. So we have a great group of kids here. You've got to be a little bit vibrant this morning. I'm going to ask some questions. Feel free to kind of shout it out, the answer, and that kind of thing, all right? This sermon is for you. Now, again, it's probably at about a fourth or fifth grade level, so if you can't understand it all, your parents, they can kind of help you when you leave here to maybe connect some of the dots for you. All right, next question, kids. How many of you love Christmas? How many love Christmas? All right. I see some hands now. Now you're getting into it. All right, here we go. Here we go. It's like an auction, y'all. Here we go. All right. Now let me ask you this. Those who have a childlike faith, who shed unhealthy aspects of childhood just or adulthood just a couple of minutes ago, how many of you are excited for Christmas? How many of you like Christmas? All right, there we go. There we go. We're getting some participation here. Well, kids, this morning I want to invite you to a place. I've got some friends who are going to help me, all right? Don't look for puppets or anything. I don't do that. But I have some friends who are going to help me. And I want to invite you to a place. And it's really, it's a special place. It's a room, okay? A room. And that room, I'm going to call Christmas morning, okay? So I'm going to help my friends here. Here they come. All right, here we go. This will be the challenge. No one pull it back here. All right, there we go. All right, a little bit further this way. That's perfect. All right, here we go. Wow, yes. So this is called Christmas Day, all right? Here we go. So this is a place, a little room. We're going to learn a couple things in this room this morning. And during this time, there's going to be three objects, okay? Now, these objects all come up at Christmas time. There's going to be three objects that we're going to look at, and you're going to be familiar with them. These aren't some kind of weird, different objects that you've never seen. You're going to be familiar with them. But I want to show you this morning how three objects that pertain to kind of Christmas morning, how they actually point us to the true meaning of Christmas. And one thing we do here, if you've been here as a kid and you've seen this maybe, we read Scripture and then I pray and then we kind of get started. Scripture tells us to do this. God tells us this is how you're to worship. You read Scripture and then you also pray. So let me read to you this true meaning of Christmas and then I want to show you some of these objects. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. It was night and they were taking care of their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. It will bring great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Here is how you will know that I am telling you the truth. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a large group of angels from heaven also appeared. They were praising God. They said, "May glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth." Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for kids. Lord, I thank you how they challenge us even as adults. And so I pray that whether we are a kid this morning or whether we are seeking to be childlike and young at heart, Lord, would you teach us? Would you open our eyes? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get to those three items, all right? So I want to begin with what is, on Christmas morning, probably one of the biggest items of all, okay? And I'm going to grab one of these little pillars here, and I'm going to put up, as long as I don't throw my back out, I'll put up a pillar here. And the very first item, what do you think? It's the biggest thing probably in your house. Kids, what do you think? Anyone? I heard some, yes, in the back. Christmas tree. I like that. I like that. Yes, very good. Now, yours at home is probably a little bit bigger, but these are just representative, okay? So we have here a Christmas tree. And just out of curiosity, how many of you all have, whether you're a kid or young at heart, all right, how many of you have Christmas trees? All right, so a lot of folks here have Christmas trees. Well, let me ask you, is it a little weird, a little strange, that something that is usually outside is now inside your house? Have you thought about that? Like, flowers kind of make sense, plants make sense. But this was a tree that used to live in the forest, right? And if Christmas specials have taught us anything, it's that squirrels can actually live inside these trees, all right? Kids, a question for you. All right, this is going to be a little bit harder. I already see a hand. That's good. The tree in your house is called, now I want you to fill in the blank here, okay? An ever blank tree. What do we think? What do we think? Ever? Young at heart, what do you think? Green. I like that. I like that. Evergreen, all right? Do you know why it is called an evergreen tree? It is because it is forever green. Know what I mean by that? In other words, unlike the trees that grow brown and then kind of die in the cold, an evergreen is forever green. When you drive home today, and I did this yesterday and today when I came in, but when you drive home today, I would encourage you to do this. Look at all the trees that you're going to pass. Most of them are going to be without leaves. They're going to look very dead, and they're going to be brown. And then all of a sudden, you're going to come to something that is a tree bursting with green color. And it's called an evergreen tree. Lincoln, I see that hand. That's good. But why would we put something like this in our house? Why our house? Well, real quick, let's say you're a party pooper adult and you decided not to have a childlike faith this morning, okay? I'm going to talk to you just for about a minute, just so I don't lose you because I still care about you. First, bah humbug, you shouldn't have done that. Secondly, let's talk, okay? I'm going to pull you back in. Kids, I'll be right back. Adults, you need to know something, and it's this. Did you know that many, many people of different cultures, not just modern Christianity, not even just our modern kind of secular culture, but many cultures have had an interest in trees during the winter? And it may seem kind of a weird thing to point out, but let me just say a couple things. Something within human nature is drawn to trees, and it's not just any tree, it's always the evergreen tree. All right, those that fall under that category. So let me just point out a couple adults, really. Kids, I'll be right back. But ancient Egyptians believed the sun god had gotten sick. And so what they would do is they would put up evergreens to remind them that life would conquer death and that the sun god, S-U-N, would become well again. Kids, if you're listening to that, we don't believe in that, all right? But this is what other people did. The Romans would hang evergreen in winter to encourage people, hey, hang in there. Life and the harvest are coming. Other cultures saw the green tree as embodying eternal life. Now, again and again, these people who were separated by time and space, many of them who were even antithetical to Christianity, on the world's darkest days during winter, when death was on display, they were all drawn to the tree, especially the evergreen tree, as a symbol of life. Adults, are you curious why? Well, keep listening. Kids, I'm back, all right? I'm back, kids. Did I lose you? You're good? All right, I saw some heads there. That's good. I want to ask you a question, kids. For those who maybe have learned this in Sunday school, did you know that God created human beings to always have an interest and even kind of an interesting relationship with trees? Did you know that? God's designed us to have an interesting relationship with trees. Let me point out a couple. Kids, do you remember, all right, the name of the very first tree in the Bible? I'm going to give you a hint. Oh, got a hand there. Do you want the hint? An evergreen? It's going to be very similar to evergreen. So here's the hint. You ready? In mankind's very first home, in a house by the name of Eden, all right, a garden, God placed in the middle of it a tree. Certain to sound familiar? Anyone remember the name of the very first tree mentioned in Scripture? It was a tree called, you ready for this? I'm going to let y'all shout it out, kids, if you know it. Young at heart, give it about 5 seconds to give them time, all right? It was a tree called the tree of anyone. Shout it out. Knowledge, that's the second tree. That's very good. I didn't think anyone would guess that, but you're smart. But there's a first tree. The very first tree mentioned in Scripture is the tree of life. All right. Young at heart piped in. That was good. And if you ate from that tree, you would live forever. It's kind of a crazy idea, but if you ate from that tree, you would live forever. Did you know that that tree, the second one we're talking about this morning, the tree of life, actually has similarities to the Christmas tree, right? This Christmas tree is actually symbolic. Kids, it simply means that this tree stands for something else. It's like a sign, and it points to something else. But in order to understand what it points to and understand the importance of the Christmas tree, I'm going to have you consider a third tree. A third tree human beings were made by God to have a special relationship with. Now, kids, I'm going to start to describe this third tree, okay? Now, this is a little bit of a game, so you got to be ready. I'm going to start to describe this third tree, and when you think you know what it is, I want you to raise your hand, okay? Now, I'm not going to call on you. I just want to know, when you think, I think I know what he's talking about, raise your hand. Young at heart, give it about 15 seconds this time before you raise your hand, okay? Let's give the younger kids a chance. Here we go. Okay, this is a different kind of tree. But the Bible actually in two places still calls it a tree. This tree was actually planted on a hill. Planted on a hill. Kids, again, when you think you know it, raise your hand. I'm not going to call on you. I'm just wanting to see when you catch on. This was a type of climbing tree. Actually, someone climbed up on this tree, but something tragic happened there. Someone actually died on this tree. Anyone know yet? Young in heart, you still got about 10 seconds before your hands can go up. God created us with special relationships, again, to trees. And this tree, this third tree, has something in common with those first two, with the Christmas tree, and also with the tree of life in Eden. This tree, I see that hand, that's good. This tree offers eternal life to those who believe in it. To be a little bit more specific, to those who believe what happened upon it. To those who dare to wonder all that happened upon this tree and choose to believe in it. All right, who knows the tree? Anyone? Even young at heart. Here we go. All right, we're starting to get somewhere. Did you know the Bible actually calls it a tree in a couple places? One of them, and we're talking about the cross here, is Galatians 3. It calls the cross a tree when it says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Now, kids, I want to throw just this weird idea out, but I do wonder sometimes if that's why we, at Christmas time, and not just us, but actually all cultures, a lot of people, if we actually love having a tree inside our home because of this. What I mean by that is that when God made us in the garden, he made us to long for a tree of life, right? And then he turned the cross into another kind of tree of life. And at Christmas, human beings who were made by God to delight in those things, there's something about the Christmas tree that feels familiar to us. We delight in having a tree of life, a forever alive tree, if you will, in our house. All right, kids, who's ready for a second object? All right, lose you on the trees. You ready for a second one? All right, here we go. Here we go. See, when you have a Christmas tree, you kind of need something else, right? You need something else. I know a lot of you probably, when you think of what you put on the tree, you're thinking ornaments and all that, but if you're really smart, what do you put on before that? Actually, show me this over here. What do you put on before that? If you don't want to knock all the ornaments off while you're putting on this. Any ideas? Lights. I like it. Lights. So this next object, again, these are common objects, but it's lights, and we're just going to do a little electrical magic here. So I've got some lights here. And let's see. Let's just light them up. How's that sound? All right, here we go, y'all. You ready? I mean, this is not going to be stunning or anything, but you'll get the idea. Wow. I mean, look at that. Now, let me say this. Did you know that Christmas lights are also symbolic? And again, that means they point to something. And actually, to go beyond that, did you know that all light is actually symbolic, biblically? How light works, in other words, tells us something about God. All right, kids, question for you. Now, this is going to be for those maybe been in Sunday school for a little while. Let me ask this question. How many of you know what God created on day one of creation? Sun? Oh, that's really close. Earth was there. There we go. Light. Here's a little hint. There we go. It was light. Now the sun, we're actually going to talk about the sun because the sun's pretty interesting. But did you know that on day one, God created the light? But there were 6 days of creation. The seventh day he rested. And now, let me ask you this. During the day when, during the regular day hours, like right now, when you go outside and you look around and it's light out, and then at night it's dark out, do you know why it's light out right now? Because of the sun. There we go. You got it. There was the answer. It's because of the sun, right? But here's a really hard question. On what day did God make the sun during creation? Kids first.
Day 4.
Nice. Day 4. You nailed that one, and with confidence, too. That was good. Day four, all right? So the question that we have is, where was the light coming from days one through three? Because it says one through three, you had light on those days. Where was it coming from? Well, let me give you, just from Scripture, a really good possibility of what light was coming from. It says this, Jesus spoke to the people again. He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have that light. They will have life. Malachi actually uses the picture of a sun, S-U-N, to describe the coming birth. Malachi poetically says this in Malachi 4:2, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. I don't think it was a coincidence either that Christ was born at night, right? There was a great presence of light at Christ's birth as light entered into the world. It says in Matthew 2:9, the star, right? This is a well-known part of the Christmas story that they had seen. When it rose, went ahead of them. It finally stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. John speaks of the birth of Christ and says this, the true light, Jesus Christ, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Christ was coming into the world. Do you want to know something that's super cool? All right, this story is not just for kids, but it's for even the bah humbug adults and even for those who are young at heart, all right? Let me tell you this. There's a person in our church who loves to decorate the church, all right? They don't like me talking about what they do, so I'm not going to use their name, but they love to decorate the church, and one day they were on this road out here. It's called North Oak Traffic Way, and they were driving by, and it was nighttime, and it was, I don't know how late, but the church had been closed for a little while. There weren't any meetings here this night, and they drove by, and the church was just dark, right? Super dark. Why? Because, like many of you, you know, it made sense. No one's here. It's nighttime. Everyone's gone home. People were, probably sleeping even. It was pretty late. I remember she was saying, this person was saying. Now, I'll say this. They said, they looked at this dark building, and it hit this individual, that in a world of darkness, our church was able to offer light. We had the light of the world. We had Jesus Christ. And we weren't really representing that visually to people who drove by. And that despite what time of day it was, that if someone was troubled and driving past her even at 3 a.m. in the morning, that they should know that this place is different, that it has light when the world is dark. And so, when you drive past this building now, despite whatever time it is, there are lights on in a number of strategic places, all right? Just little lamps here and there that are left on throughout the building. If you're a bah humbug adult, don't worry. We use the LEDs. We're saving money, okay? We're not just throwing money away. But at Christmas time, some of those lights that are left on are our Christmas trees. Now, a man long ago named Martin Luther is said to have been one of the very first to put lights on a tree, except back then he used candles, which is probably the worst idea I've ever heard, all right, for a Christmas tree. Kids, don't do that, all right? But he did it because it represented something. You see, as light shines in darkness, all light has this picture. It kind of points to the God who created light. It's a reminder of something. And it's this, it is a reminder that ever since of creation, you had the light of the world. You had Jesus Christ who entered into this world and into our lives. And this is even, listen to what this says in 2 Corinthians 4:6 about God and light. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. So the same God who said that has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light and darkness, they cannot exist together. Jesus came to do away with the darkness of the enemy and death. All right, kids, ready for the third object? All right, it's getting late in the morning. All right, we're ready. All right, I feel it. Here we go. Around the fireplace, you've got a tree. You put some ornaments and some light on the tree. So now, what needs to go under the tree, kids? Anyone? Presents. I like it. I would say gifts in my manuscript, but presents also works, okay? So, and someone from First Service said, why couldn't you pick a bigger gift? But this is what I picked, okay? Maybe I'll stand it up like that to make it a little more aggressive. So we have gifts, right? Do the gifts that we give at Christmas are they also supposed to point to something? Are they supposed to remind us of anything about God? Well, probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. Kids, young at heart, even adults, anyone memorized this? All right, John 3:16, seeing some nods, all right? Well, as you're thinking about gifts, this is for the kids right now, I want you to listen. I'm going to read through John 3:16, kids. You ready? And what you need to do, kids, is when you hear a word that reminds you of presence this morning, then I want you to kind of raise your hand when you hear it, okay? If you're a child at heart, give it about 2 or 3 seconds this time, okay, before you raise your hand. But John 3:16, ready? Kids, listen for a word that reminds you of presence. God so loved the world that he gave, I see a hand. I see some hands now. He gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. So it's the word gave, right? God gave us a gift. Now I just want you to think about that. What does that tell us? I mean, kids, you know this, like there's a lot of adults, right, that who give you gifts this Christmas. You might be giving gifts to people. What does it say when someone gives you a gift? Let's think about that for a little bit. When we receive a gift from someone, what does it say? And not only that, but how should we respond to the gift? When someone tries to give us a gift, how do we respond? Well, kids, did you know this? Did you know that there are a lot of adults, and even some of some kids as well, who think that God's probably disappointed with them? Maybe even some of us here this morning feel like God's just probably disappointed with me. They might be ashamed of something they've done, and they're pretty sure that God is just really upset with them. God's kind of up there just shaking his head at them. But John 3:16 is telling us that Christmas reminds us of God's gift to us and also how he gave that gift. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And again, think through this. This world has not been especially nice to God. It's kind of strayed away. It's gone through pain and suffering itself. But God so loved the world. I'll tell you, God did not give us a gift at Christmas of his son because he just is putting up with us, but because he is overwhelmed with love for us. But this gift also tells us something about us. We have been given a gift, and there are two ways you can respond when you get a gift. And kids, let me ask you a question. We only have a couple more questions left, so here we go. Here's a question. Kids, when Christmas Day is over, and you got your tree there, you got the lights, you got the ornaments, if you walked by and you saw a gift and the gift had your name on it, would you still leave it there at that point? Like, still wrapped, has your name, would you say, another gift for me, and kind of walk off? And what would you do? You'd probably, like, I see Eli back there. Eli's, you would open it, right? Yeah, you'd open it. Like, you'd want to open it. Well, here's what's wild. Kids, did you know that there are a lot of people who say, I'm not going to receive that gift. I'm not going to open that gift. Did you know there are a lot of people, a lot of even adults, who have not taken and received the gift that God has given them on that first Christmas day? There are a lot of people, and even kids, that say, hey, I don't have time to open the gift right now, or I don't really need it, or I don't have time to receive it, or I'll do that, maybe I'll open that gift later in my life. There are a lot of people who are even looking all over the place for other gifts, things that will try to bring some sort of happiness to them, and this gift of Jesus is wrapped up right in front of them, and many have not opened it, and they risk walking away, never opening, never receiving the gift. See, when someone gives a gift, part of the gift is that you have to receive it. What is so special about the gift of Jesus? Well, the verse told us that those who receive this gift will not die, but will have eternal life. The gift that God gives has the power to give us everlasting life. Now, kids, does this sound familiar? Have you heard anything else this morning? Last question I'm going to ask you, but do you remember anything else we've already talked about this morning, earlier today, when we talked about something with eternal life, something that was forever alive? What do you remember? Young in heart, help them out. The tree. The tree. You see, the tree represents Christ being able to offer everlasting life, and when we open the gift of Christ and receive it for ourselves, we have found the true tree of life. And we have at that point everlasting life. You know what else is amazing is that we become the light of the world. It's like God covers us in Christmas lights to go out then into the dark world and to light it up for him. Kids, this morning, these are the three objects: a tree, lights, and a gift. Maybe your parents can help you remind you later of what they stood for. But my prayer for you is that they would remind you of the true meaning of Christmas, that they would kind of point to Jesus Christ. And for those young at heart, thank you for engaging this morning with me and this next generation. But you're going to go around town and you're going to go to the grocery store, you're going to go to your own living room probably, you're going to see on TV these things all the time during this season. And my prayer for you too is that they would be little signs pointing you back to these things we've talked about, to the true tree of life, the cross. Again, the gift of Christ, and that he is the light of the world, but also we, through him, become the light of the world. And those who refuse to be childlike with us, it's okay, I've been grumpy before too, all right? But let me beg you, it is worth considering these childlike objects. It really is. To find the tree that your heart has always longed for, and to understand the baby who came, who grew, who went to the cross, and who died, and who rose again from the dead. And to realize that this is a gift that God himself extends to you, even in your grumpiness, right? He extends to you because he loves you. He loves you. And I encourage you to ask yourself, have I ever opened and truly received this gift? Or does it just still sit under the cosmic Christmas tree? Because God wants to take the darkness that is within you and to bring light. He is the light, and he wants you to be the light of the world. All right, everyone, we've had a weird sermon, so we're going to end it in a different way anyways, all right? So here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a chance to further reflect and kind of wonder upon these things. I'm going to leave them up here, all right? There's nothing special about these things. They're ordinary items. But they kind of point. They're like a sign, and they point to something else. We've talked about those things this morning. And I want to give you a final chance to reflect upon this season. There's a special song, and I asked the singers not to stand up front, because I actually want us to kind of end thinking about these three things we've heard about this morning. And I would encourage you, as the words are put up on the screen, I think you'll see some of the connectedness to what we've talked about. Reflect upon the words. Reflect upon these things. Reflect upon Christ, who came to this world, who again pursued after us, who was a gift to us because God loved us. Let's listen to the song, and then I'll close us in prayer.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a bit of hope. Prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from the sea of hurt. Oh come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels singing? Tears of a mother, a baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah, the Prince of Peace has come. He has come, Emmanuel.
To the
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. And I do pray for the kids. Lord, we care for them. Lord, we make promises to share the gospel with them. And so, Lord, we come to you and ask that you would continue to do more than we can even imagine or think in their lives as well. Lord, that you would continue to grow them in you, that you would point them again and again to Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I pray also that we would learn from them. Something beautiful is Jesus takes a child and says that we also need to have some of these qualities. Lord, I pray that we would always be those who would be willing to wonder, be willing to imagine how magnificent and great you are and the things that you can do. Lord, help the kids, help us understand what it means to believe. Lord, again, we thank you for the great gift that you've given us in Christ. Would we be able to truly celebrate it this week? Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. Especially thank you for your son, Jesus. And the kids and everyone else in here said, Amen. Amen.